May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. All right, so this is only my second Sunday here, and we're still getting to know each other. So I'm going to tell you something about myself. I love country music. And I don't just mean that I love the old classic tried and true country like Johnny Cash and Hank Williams, who dressed in black suits and crisp cowboy hats. I do love those old classics. But I also love country from more recent, less refined decades by artists like Travis Tritt, who traded the polished elegance of Hank's coat and tie for a jean vest and a mullet. If you thumbed through my music library, you would find songs by such 90s legends as Garth Brooks, Shania Twain, and of course, the king of country himself, George Strait. Do I have any other 90s country fans out there? Okay, good. Even if you hate country, it's okay, we can still be friends. Well, one of the more famous country artists of the last few years is Tim McGraw. In 2004, he came out with a song called Live Like You Were Dying. This song tells the story of a middle-aged man who discovers that he has only a few years to live. What does he do with this difficult, heartbreaking news? He goes skydiving, climbs a mountain, rides a bull in a rodeo. He does all the things that he was always too afraid to do. He gets focused in on what is most important in life. He spends time with the people he loves and does the things that bring him true joy. And the way he treats other people changes. He says, I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. For the man in this song, facing his own mortality changes everything. The song captures something of the soaring freedom that is born of an acceptance of death. Someday, the man in the song says, I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Our reading from Romans this morning has a lot to say about facing our own death. The author of this letter, the Apostle Paul, says, Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. This sounds like a pretty grim view of baptism. I don't know about you, but I like to think about the precious little babies in beautiful white gowns and the cake we get to eat at the reception afterwards. But actually, baptism is not as tame as we often make it out to be. Baptism is a great and terrible mystery, one of the church's most powerful sacraments. Because before baptism is about new life, about resurrection and our hope in Christ, it is first about death. Our Romans reading tells us that when we were baptized, we died. As Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We often want to skip right to the happy part, the new life part. But the truth is that you don't get resurrection without death. So this takes the whole live like you were dying lesson to a whole new level. In baptism, we have already died. We are already freed from the powers of sin and death. So what more do we have to lose? There's a story about an early Christian martyr who was being carried to his death by an angry crowd. But he remained calm, even peaceful. He simply said, You cannot kill me, for I have already died. Remembering our baptism can give us the same kind of boldness in life. Even if you and I may not be called to surrender our physical bodies to death as the martyrs of the church have done, we are called to surrender our lives to follow Christ. This is what Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson when he says, "Those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is not an easy task because Jesus does not just want part of us. He wants all of us. That's the point that Jesus is making when he says those words that are so tough for us to hear. "For I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't love our family members, not at all. That we know from the rest of the Gospels that Jesus is all about loving others. But he is saying that if we choose to follow him, we have to give it all up. Lay everything at the foot of the cross, all aspects of our lives, our families, our relationships, our careers, everything. We live out our baptism not just that one time, but every day. What would we do differently if every day we really believed that we had died and been raised again? What does it mean to live like you were baptized? Like the man in the country song, I imagine it would change everything. We wouldn't let our fears hold us back. We wouldn't let blind ambition make decisions for us. We would be fully present in the moment, savoring this life we have been given. We would be more joyful and have more fun. We would forgive more freely, give more generously, love more extravagantly. And we have one another to help us do this. Every week when we gather together for church, we get a new chance to start over, to bring our shortcomings and our fears and weaknesses to the cross and leave them there. We get to sing with joy and remember the gift of new life that has been given to us. And when we come to the table for Eucharist, we hear again the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we take the new life of Christ into our very bodies. And so we remember each week that our baptismal death is not in vain. It makes way for life. And not just a shadow of life, but the real thing. When we are raised out of the waters of baptism, we are raised with Christ into eternal life, into the abundant life that Christ offers us here and now. So in our own lives, and as the community of St. Andrews, let's not just live like we were dying. Let's live like we were baptized. Amen.